Bernstein and Holmes, your midday destination for Chicago sports talk on 670 The Score.
Turner grounded out to third in his first at-bat in the first. The pitch is drilled deep left center field. This could go. It's gone. Trey Turner makes it 3-0 Phillies here in the third. A solo shot to left center.
That was Zach Zaidman on the call last night here on The Score. He sounded really good. I got to listen to several innings while driving around last night.
And Zach's fantastic.
Zach does a really, really good job. Tonight, the Cubs-Phillies series continues from Wrigley Field. Pregame coverage starts at 6:30. First pitch, 7:05 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs radio network. Hayden Wisniewski is a tantalizing collection of traits. But he's not a terrific pitcher at this point. And I'd say throw the slider every time. I know that's an exaggeration. That's hyperbole. But throw it every time. It's a hard pitch to hit. And his fastball is not. So we'll see. We'll see how Pitch Lab figures him out. But I know the big problem had been.
I mean, Pitch Lab has had him for a while and they haven't figured him out. So,
well, wasn't there a rest issue as well?
An arrest or rest?
No,
rest.
A rest issue.
Okay, good. I think, I don't know specifically if he's talked about that, but I do know that there was something that had been discerned that his fastball release changed to match it up with where he needed his slider to be released to get the sideways tilt that they wanted. I don't know. He certainly seems to make himself unhappy when he gives up home runs.
Yeah, he gets frustrated. He's got a little Ted Lilly in him. When he
now that was an actual arrest.
Yes, so but not that game.
No,
that was later.
He was not arrested for that. He was arrested for insurance fraud, I think.
Does he get PPP too?
No, wasn't it a boat or RVs? I think
you're right.
I think it was recreational vehicle insurance fraud, if I remember correctly. But I, you know,
wow, I'm what a stretch.
Well, hey,
get on back there.
Make money where you can make it. But they got no choice right now. Injuries have limited whatever they can do. And if you got to keep starting with Wisniewski, I would just keep throwing your best pitch.
I think he's going to do his best given that he's in a role that doesn't suit him. I hate how many times I've said this about members of the entire Cubs pitching staff.
Look, so, I think
Javier Assad is that's a blow.
I think it's fair to wonder about what the effect is on human beings when they are pushed out of routine. Now, when we had Carter on, he was pretty clear and distinct that he feels like a pitcher is a pitcher is a pitcher, just like a run is a run is a run. You're either a high leverage pitcher or you're not.
You asked him specifically about that to try to pin that down.
And that's the conclusion that he came to. I'm not surprised by it. There are a lot of people in baseball that feel that way. I just think that anecdotally, there's enough evidence for me to at least think about it and go, these are not just statistics, they're people. So is there more pressure when a person is a closer? Do people feel more pressure, even though there isn't more pressure when someone's hitting leadoff or hitting four? What are the impacts of that? And are you doing your best to help make those people feel better about those roles that they're in that might be uncomfortable to say, no, like you can do this because you're really good at blank. So that should translate no matter where it is in the game.
That's best example is John Lester was promised a clean inning in the World Series if he was going to have to pitch in relief. Like that's the most glaring example we can give you of what you know about a person versus what they prefer and what the outcome is going to be. And when they're the variable, then that's what matters. Like when they're the person who's dealing with it, it's the equivalent to me of driving a car you know does a certain thing, but then you decide you're taking a tire off. Like that, it's that much. When somebody tells you, especially somebody they don't owe anything to, about what they would rather do.
So first, let's hear from Hayden Wisniewski after the game talking about his command.
I felt pretty good. Stuff was coming out good. Slider. Didn't have command early of it, and a few pitches, and a lot of walks, really. Ruined the day.
All right, so those are his thoughts. These are the thoughts of Zach, the aforementioned, and Ron Coomer on the score, talking about Wisniewski's struggles.
The home run ball was an issue for Wisniewski last time out against San Francisco. Gave up just two hits, both of them home runs. The 1-0, swing and a miss. Out a slider, 1-1 the count. Back-to-back home runs in the second inning by Michael Conforto and David Villar in San Francisco. Wisniewski settled down after that point, but that was enough damage. The 1-1 is low, so 2-1 the count. Wisniewski said, and he admitted this after the game the next day, that in the bullpen, as he was working on his sweeper, his slider, he was having issues in the pen prior to the game. Bounced it 7 times in a row. The 2-1. Swing and a miss. So 2 balls and 2 strikes, the count. I guess sometimes those bullpen sessions are overrated. Sometimes they're not.
There comes a time where, and that is the predominant pitch that he throws. So when you're having issues commanding it, it's unsettling when you take the mound.
Bohm lunges at a sweeper out of the zone. Strike 3. 1 away.
I would think for a pitcher, and I never pitched in the big leagues. I stopped pitching basically when I left high school. But if you're pitching and you don't have command of your number one pitch coming out of the bullpen to start a big league game, you're trying to find it then in game, and you're trying to throw it for a strike, and you're not cutting it loose, and it ends up in the middle of the plate, and good big league hitters know what to do with that pitch.
There's another aspect to it, too. He's right on all counts, obviously. If you know that that's your bread and butter pitch and you don't have it, you're in for a difficult night. What I'm wondering, too, is with the release of Yan Gomes, and I've not looked at catcher ERA, which is something I know that the Cubs have looked at. It's also a veteran catcher's job. It is, and Lawrence, you know this, because sometimes you've got to be a caddy at that point.
Psychologist.
You've got to be a caddy. You got to say, okay, all right, what am I working with? What do we have? How can we work together to keep the ball off the barrel? Miss some bats, get some outs. And I know that they couldn't keep Gomes. But Amaya, as much as they respect him and like him and all that, he's very young. He's in the grand scheme of things, he's really inexperienced.
Yeah, but I feel like if Kyle Hendricks is giving him the seal of approval.
But Kyle's calling his own pitches.
No, he's not.
He has been.
He had been, and since he has had struggles, it's been Amaya that's been telling him to add in more curveballs to it. That's what Kyle has said.
Well, then I hope that Amaya and Wisniewski are capable of navigating through some of these difficult waters that every pitcher is going to face.
I think that it might just be that Wisniewski doesn't have command of his pitches. I don't want to put that on the catcher, because when we see him miss and it gets hit a long way, I think that he doesn't have overwhelming velocity. His velocity is fine on his fastball, but it's not overwhelming. And when he can't command the sweeper, and I mean it, the command of it has to be that it looks tantalizing to hit and then disappears. One of the issues with the idea of throw it, throw it, throw it is guys will pick up that he doesn't have command of it, and they'll spit on it, and it'll be like, oh, okay, now you're in a 3-0 count. Now you're in a 3-1 count. What are you going to do?
Yeah, or you're fouling it off, or you're asking your starter to essentially go maybe one time through the order, time and a half, especially against a team like the Phillies. They're not even at full strength.
That's not even the Phillies.
So I was telling you yesterday.
That's not even them.
You get to walk into this series without having to deal with Schwarber, without having to deal with Bryce Harper.
And then Trey Turner hits 2 home runs.
Right.
That one he hit was ridiculous.
The shortstop would slug.
Interesting.
And speed.
And the 312 says that was, reminding that Nito has a reputation as a really good receiver. But the guy he might as well not have a bat. That's why he's been a fringe major leaguer. Because he can't hit at all. So you know, you make your trade-offs.
They've resigned themselves to that part of it.
I think the Cubs have maybe done too much of that over the last few years of looking at a catcher and being like, well, what does he do? Well, you know, he's costing us some runs. Does he also produce offensively? Yeah. Yeah, he does. Let's get rid of him and let's bring in two catchers that are good defenders but don't really hit.
Well, I mean, even the best teams in baseball were okay with their catchers not producing offensively.
And then you cut.
But the difference was they had other players who were producing in the lineup. You know, when it's the Astros trying to figure out what to do with Miguel Montero, it's a different discussion.
Well, that's when it becomes
a
luxury.
Martin Maldonado.
When it becomes a luxury to have that guy, that's awesome. Back when you used to carry three.
Yes. But
like, don't you remember the Astros?
Optimize your playoff roster. Yeah.
The Astros were thinking about whether or not to have Martin Maldonado keep starting. And that was the discussion about potentially Wilson Contreras. And obviously they went with it and it worked for them, at least in that moment. But that's a good team. This is a different discussion.